Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 26. Now, of course, the main verse is verse 13, and we will look at the other verses to simply draw a conclusion about what we're going to find in verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 is about happiness, and it says, "Happy is the man." That phrase shows up four times in your Bible. Happy is the man. Here it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Now the question is, are you looking for happiness? Are you looking for happiness? Do you want to be happy? You know, honestly, what do they say? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? What are those, inalienable rights or something like that? Well, happiness, I mean, presumably, that's something that everybody wants. I suppose there are a few people that are forlorn and like to walk around depressed and feel comfortable being miserable. I'm not one of those. I don't suppose you are either. I suppose the truth of the matter is, if you can be happy and you could be happy consistently, you'd want to be. And if you could find out how to be, you would be. Well, the Bible tells you how. If you're looking for happiness, it's in the Bible, right where you couldn't possibly miss it. It's under the phrase, "Happy is the man." Now, of course, we're in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, so we're going to study that. But we're going to go ahead and do these in chronological order. In other words, we'll find the first one in Job, and then Psalms, and then Proverbs, and then the last one in Proverbs. I mean, if you want to find out what the secrets of happiness are, they're right here. There's four things. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Job chapter 5, verse 17 was actually a verse that was used as one of our cross-references yesterday, but it fits for the program that we're doing today as well. Job chapter 5, verse 17. "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." What did he say? He said, "Happy is the man." Do you see it? Happy is the man. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Well, you say, that doesn't sound like much happiness to me. Well, it really is. He said, "Happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Now, we spent a great deal of time yesterday talking about the chastening of God. And first thing, you're corrected so that you can get saved. I mean, I appreciate the fact that a man, in so many words, knocked me upside the head with the gospel so that I could get it through my pea brain that I needed to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm thankful for that. And then once God has corrected you so that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're saved, oh, I'm telling you what, that starts to brighten up and change your attitude about a lot of different things. I didn't think the same way before I got saved as I did after I got saved. There are things about the Christian life that I thought might be boring, according to the way I perceived them. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm so thankful that I got saved. And then after you get saved by God correcting you from a life of wickedness and ungodliness to a life of righteousness in Jesus Christ, after you get saved and those things happen, then God corrects you so that you'll do right. You say, well, that doesn't sound like very much fun. We're not talking about fun here. We're talking about happiness. People always associate fun with happiness, but it's not always like that. For instance, think about a child whenever they've gone to an amusement park or something like that, and they've had a lot of fun. You know what happens to them when they get home at night? They're fussy. And you know what happens to them the next day? All they want to do is go back to the amusement park. You think you could get them to sit still in a classroom? Not very likely. Why? Because fun teaches you, eventually, irresponsibility. All you want to do is go out and have a good time. This isn't about a good time. This is about happiness. And while happiness can be associated with fun, happiness involves a lot more than just a good time. Paul was happy even when he was in bad situations because he was content. So God corrects you so that you'll do right to keep you out of troublesome situations that are going to create problems for you. I appreciate the fact that when I'm heading in the wrong way, God has a rod. That's what David said in Psalm 23, and so many love to memorize that psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Have you ever thought about that? Sheep don't eat a rod and a staff. You know what those things are for. They're to move the sheep and prod the sheep and discipline the sheep. And he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Listen, the correction of God will be used to get you into a place where you will do right. But the consequences of doing right are happiness. A man that can lay his head down on his pillow at night, who has nothing to ask God to forgive him for, and nothing for which he feels ashamed, is a happy man. He was able to accomplish something in a particular day that he could not do without the presence and abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in him. God corrected you so you'll do right. There are lots of things in our lives that are out of line. You know, once you get rid of some of the visible sins, you know, the obvious things that everybody can smell on you or see on you or hear from your mouth, you get rid of some of the obvious sins, there's something else. There are all those other sins of the heart, things that are not quite so obvious. The pride, the jealousy, the envy, the covetousness, the bitterness, the lack of forgiveness, the failure to love God, all those kind of things. God's got to correct you to show those things to you. You won't see them. But man, you're happy when you get those things out of your life. "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth." Then after God corrects you so that you do right, God will correct you so that you can lead others to do right. Well, that's right. He'll bring you to a place by his correction of maturity so that other people will want to follow your lead in righteousness. And that right there is a source of great happiness. You know, when I chose a career coming out of college, I chose to go into the banking business. We had family that were in the banking business. My grandfather on my mother's side, grandfather on my father's side, my father, now my brother. A lot of experience in the banking business. Uncle in the banking business, another uncle in the banking business. And so one of the things that allured me to the banking business is that it was a service organization. In other words, in the position that I was in, I could approve loans for men or women that really needed them, who might not otherwise have completely qualified for them, but men and women that we believed would really be able to make something of themselves, and they did. And there was a great deal of satisfaction in that. There was a lot of joy in being able to see somebody succeed. Okay? When I got out of the banking business to go into the ministry, you know what compelled me? The opportunity to be able to help other people. And this time, it was not for temporal pleasure or temporal success. Now, it was for eternal life. And I'm going to tell you the satisfaction of leading a soul to Jesus Christ or discipling a man or a woman to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is even far and away better than any business deal I ever closed. There's nothing to compare to it. But God had to correct me to a place where I could lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's happiness associated with salvation. There's happiness associated with righteousness. There's happiness associated with the ministry. Those three things come from correction. So when the Lord says, "Happy is the man whom God correcteth," he knew exactly what he was talking about. If you want to be happy in your life, get saved, live right, and minister to others. Get saved, live right, and lead others to Christ. There you go. You'll find more happiness in that than any temporal pleasure imaginable. It's the truth. All right, what's the second thing? Psalm 127, look at verse 5. Psalm 127, and look at verse 5, and we'll find the verse that says, happy is the man, and then we'll find what the context tells you that happiness is associated with. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Oh, that sounds like arrows. It does, but look at verse 4. As arrows, so there's a similitude. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, children. Children. So happiness then, secondly, as far as the Bible is concerned, is connected with having children. Now, in our age and in our society, there is a tendency towards smaller families. There's economic concern. A lot of the wives are working now. Those kinds of things cause men and women want to keep their families at more of a manageable size. That's not a full quiver. And I'm not advocating that you go out and have a bunch of babies. What I'm saying is you don't necessarily want to buy into what the world is saying about one or two kids without considering that once they're grown, you don't have any more. In other words, we have four, and now the youngest one is 16, and honestly, at times, you know, you kind of wondering where that 14-year-old and where that 12-year-old are, because there's a lot of happiness associated with children. I'm not saying that there's not also sadness. As a man says, they'll step on your heartstrings. You know, when they're children, babies, they'll step on your apron strings, but when they get older, they step on your heartstrings. That's true. There's a lot of sadness associated with it, but taking it all together, like a friend of mine said before I got into the ministry, your family is your first congregation. Make sure they are your last. In other words, treat them and spend time with them the whole way through so that when you have to retire from the ministry, if you ever do, you've still got your family. Children will bring you loads of happiness when you consider the whole picture. They'll bring you loads of happiness. Happiness at their birth. It's always exciting when the mother has a child, because she's elated, first of all, to no longer be carrying the child and to have the labor on the other side of her. She's done with it now. But there's also happiness in seeing the baby. And the mothers always think their babies are so beautiful. You know, I've heard funny stories about men that disagree with that. But you know what? When you see the radiance of the beautiful mother smiling, holding her beautiful child, there is a beauty there and there is a happiness there that really cannot be compared with anything else on this earth. There's happiness at their birth. There's happiness at the funny things they do. We laugh and remember the things our children have done. We talk about those things, and we laugh when we hear the other people tell about the funny things their children have done. There's a lot of happiness associated with the children and the funny things that they do. There's a lot of happiness at their school achievements. I remember when I first went off to school, I went to boarding school when I was growing up, and I had gone and participated in a citywide math contest in one of the schools and won that citywide math contest. And I remember calling my mother, and I'd already talked to her a couple of times during that week, and so she was aggravated that I was spending money on long-distance calls to call her again. So she kind of fussed at me a little bit when we started the conversation, but I said, no, you don't understand, I won a math contest. Well, she thought, okay, big deal. You know, they're a class of 20 guys, and you beat them all in a math contest. So what's the deal of that? Well, the next day, she read it in the newspaper. And she read that it was a citywide contest in San Antonio. And, boy, she called me. And then she called her father, my grandfather, and started kind of bragging about that, you know. And my grandfather said, well, you know where he got that from. And he started taking credit for it. Well, it began a real funny thing. But you know what there was? Well, I mean, because we've talked about it since then. You know what there was? There was happiness there. That brought them excitement. And it brings you excitement when your children do things well in school. We have parents here that come and talk about their children and their grandchildren, the great things they're doing in academics and the great things they're doing in athletics and the scholarships they win and things like that. There's happiness at their weddings. And I realize there are always exceptions to the rules. I know two people who did not attend the wedding of their children, at least one child, because they weren't satisfied with the choice. Okay? There's always exceptions to the rules. But you know something? I've been to a lot of weddings. I've conducted a lot of weddings. And I kid you not, I am telling you, man, there is happiness associated with that occasion. Sometimes the mothers and the daughters are a little testy about the last-minute details. That can be a little frustrating because there are a lot of nerves. But all in all, there's a lot of happiness as the family is expanding. There's happiness at the grandchildren and at the great-grandchildren. Recently, we had a dear friend of ours, 94 years old, that finally passed away to go on to be with the Lord. And you know, he wanted to live to be 100 because he wanted to watch his great-grandchild grow up. He absolutely loved to be in her company. There is great happiness at their return. You know, right now I've been preaching this to you, and you're probably thinking about one of your children or the child of one of your friends who's not doing well. And you think, how in the world can you be preaching that there's happiness in children when I know, oh, so-and-so and his child is living like the devil right now? Well, I'll grant you. There's some of that that goes on. Hey, but you know something? We've got a great thing in our God because we can talk to our God the same way that the prodigal son's father talked to God and one day rejoice when the old son comes home. Or when your daughter turns and returns. And there's a lot of stories like that. There are a lot of heartaches along the way, and then all of a sudden, there's a lot of these great instances where children have turned and come back to the Lord. Tremendous. Tremendous. Oh, I'm telling you, tell me there wasn't happiness when that father was putting the robe on his son and the gold ring on his finger and killing the fatted calf and celebrating because his son had come home. Oh, I'm telling you, man, you talk about a happy day, that was probably the happiest day in that man's life. And you know what? There's even happiness at your deathbed. Not that you're looking forward to dying, and neither am I. I'm looking forward to the rapture. But you know, there are many times that I've had the opportunity to be with a family whenever a loved one was passing on, a parent, and there was a great deal of, when I say happiness, that deep contentment, knowing that the family was nearby. Those children I'm talking about, nearby, things good, saying the last goodbyes. I've had numerous people talk to me about having the opportunity to tell their family members, their parents, their last goodbyes. There's lots and lots of deep emotion there. Really and truly, when you look back on it, it's a happy time. Even though it was a sad and grievous time, it's a happy time that you really got to be with them when they passed on, or with them that same day if it wasn't at that very moment. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. And then what else? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. That's our text today, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Here I am preaching, I'm considering the length of time that I have for this broadcast, and I'm thinking, you know, would to God we had more time, because there's so much that could be said about all these things. But in our text in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Well, you know what it's like? He goes through in the rest of the verses down to 26 and tells you why a man that has wisdom and understanding is a happy man. Listen, have you ever seen the pictures of people who have won the lottery or won something when they were gambling or won a big prize at a raffle? They're smiling and they're giddy and they're all excited. They may not be later, but they are when they first win it. Or inherit a big sum of money or a piece of land. They're happy. They're happy looking. But you know what Solomon said in verses 14, 15, and 16? That wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain of wisdom is better than fine gold, that is more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Riches and honor are in her left hand. Now listen, I've seen a person get all excited when they get a raise. I've seen a person get all excited when they get a bonus. I've seen a person get all excited when they won some money. And you think, boy, they're really happy. Well, it's fleeting. I mean, next day when you come to work and you got to put up with a sourpuss boss, that the happiness of that pay raise is about gone. You know what I'm talking about. And God said, you're happy when you find wisdom and understanding because that's better than silver, gold, rubies, and riches. Why? Because you'll get things with wisdom that you cannot get with money. One of them is eternal life. And another is the preparation for the judgment seat of Christ, where the riches and the gold and the silver you gain there and the rubies you gain there will be yours forever, where these that you have down here you'll give away before long when you die. Wisdom is good in verse 16 because of the length of days. You'll get a long life with wisdom. Wisdom is good because of pleasantness and peace in verse 17. Wisdom is good because of its life in verses 18 and 22. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Wisdom is great because it provides safety in verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Wisdom is good because and makes you happy because you're not going to be afraid of things that normally made you afraid. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. In verses 24 and 25 of Proverbs chapter 3, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. You don't have to be afraid of the future. You know why? Because you've got wisdom, and with wisdom you know what the outcome is. I'm happy right now. With wisdom, you say, why? Because wisdom has told me there's a rapture coming and I'm going up in it. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that. Here we are in springtime. The Lord, he might as well come now. I'm happy because I know that I'm not going to hell. And that Jesus Christ saved me from that. What a blessing, man. You know where I got that? Wisdom. I'm happy with wisdom because wisdom has directed me and kept me out of a lot of problems. And wisdom over the years, I used to be a scaredy cat. I mean, when I was a kid and I'd lie my head down on my... I spent a lot of time growing up, you know, in the Catholic Church. There's a lot of superstition associated with all that. And you get scared of the booger man at night, particularly when you have two older brothers that are trying to scare you with that stuff. Wake up like that, and so you get to kind of looking about those things, superstitious and concerned and fearful about things going awry. You know, I can honestly say I'm not worried about that stuff now. You know why? Because wisdom has told me that God is controlling these things. And wisdom has told me that God is protecting the family, the house, the possessions, me, the life. As long as we're doing what the Lord wants us to do and going along with His will, then we're not going anywhere till God's ready for us to go. You don't worry about it. There's, you know, the teenagers wear the t-shirt that says no fear, but truthfully they are very afraid, and that's why they're all ganged up. But a Christian that has wisdom is not afraid, because you know the outcome of everything. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to rule. We know that our Savior, though we can't see Him, is real. We know that God is in control of everything, and that the devil's going to get bound up for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit, and He'll leave us alone. And I'm excited about that. We know that prophecy is going to be fulfilled with wisdom that is profitable to direct our paths. God will keep us from getting into situations that will cause you to be afraid. Wisdom has repaired my marriage. Wisdom repairs your marriage too. Wisdom directs you into the right place to work, what to do with your money, what to do with your health, what to do with your mind, what to do with your eyes, what to do with your body, what to do with your heart. Wisdom does that to you and gives you pleasantness and peace and life and riches and safety and no fear and confidence. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And man, it is good to walk in confidence, not self-confidence, but God-confidence. And you get all that with wisdom. So no wonder the man that finds wisdom is happy. And then finally, happy is the man that feareth alway. You say, wait a minute, I thought you told me that when we get saved, we're not afraid. Well, we're not afraid of the things that people are normally afraid of down here, like poor health and, you know, money drying up and not being able to pay the bills and busted relationships and things that normally keep people all stirred up here. We don't have to, terrorism. The Christians don't worry about terrorism. We read all over the Bible the word terror keeps showing up. We know that what it means to us when people start talking about terrorism is that we're getting real close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us. Wisdom directs us not to be afraid, but to be excited. To look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, we do fear, but it's a different kind of a fear. Proverbs 28, 14, happy is the man that feareth alway. What's he talking about? He's talking about fearing God. He that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. He's talking about fearing God. When you fear God, First of all, you won't fear anything else. You won't. When you fear God, you won't fear anything else. Most people that I know are afraid of men. That's right. They're afraid of men. They're afraid of ridicule. They're afraid of reproach. They put themselves into bondage to men because they're afraid what somebody else is going to say or do against them. And living in the fear of man brings a snare, and you walk through life like your foot is in a ball and a chain, and that chain and that ball are attached to a tree, and every time you get to the extremity, you bang, you come to the end of it because you're ensnared. But when you fear God, you will not fear men. When you fear God, you won't fear anything else. And when you fear God, you won't cross him. And if you don't cross him, you will always be on his good side where things are happy. After this broadcast, there's another broadcast and people call in, and they're always asking about confessing sins. And for some reason, I mean, just like a broken record, they go back to 1 John 1:9 over and over and over again. Listen, I understand how the man teaches that verse. I've heard him say it. The first time I heard him say it, I knew where he stood on teaching that verse, and he teaches it the same way every time, and he's wrong. You don't need to confess your sins to cleanse your soul. Your soul was cleansed at Calvary, but you're walking around in a body and a spirit that get defiled in this world and break off your fellowship with God, and you need those things cleansed, and confession will do it, and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied. You know what? I know where the man stands on it, and yet he has to, like a broken record, keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. You know what that tells me? The people that are listening to him aren't getting it because they are afraid. Something they know is wrong in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what it is? They're trying to live on the wrong side of God and get away with it. That's what's going on. And if they get on the right side of God and employ what God told them in there and fear God, they wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. That'd take care of it. And they'd be happy. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of children. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy is the man that feareth alway. You want the ingredients for happiness in life? They're right there in those four verses in your Bible. If you'll read them, believe them, and live them, you can be a happy man. You'll be a happy woman. And we pray you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.